Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hear this, right now.
Welcome.
Primetime with Isaac and Souk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Rupp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Primetime with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
What it do?
Ahoy!
What is up?
We
happy
got a,
show time.
Yeah, we
happy
got a
show time.
We got a sports and we got a sports hard.
Yeah, and fast.
Yeah.
Hard and fast.
Hard and fast. Today will be hard and fast.
We only have a 2-hour show, guys.
But it's actually
probably could have gone maybe a minute and a half.
Well, I'm going to hopefully go
longer.
Can
you go 2 hours?
2 hours. Seems very daunting. We'll see what we can do.
That's an awful lot.
It's pretty overwhelming.
Look, I've got HBO and Predators on, all right? Enough's enough.
Yeah, I've been there. I don't know about Predator, but...
Well, John Wick 3 is premiered last weekend, so I need to watch that for the 19th time.
Well, hey, yeah, we've got... guys, listen up. Gals.
There's so much.
Peeps, we only have 2 hours to broadcast today because tonight it's finally occurring. LSU-Clemson, the college football playoff finale, and we will have it for you here on The Fan.
16 days in the making.
Hiya!
Just feels like forever.
Hiya! 5 o'clock.
I'm kind of, I'm fired up for it, but at the same time, it's just, it's
I can't wait.
The momentum for it has been killed, but it's slowly.
Yeah, but it's such a good game.
It should be.
That, yeah, it should be.
I got
just
a
mean,
bold prediction.
On paper. Wait, what?
I got a bold prediction. Tigers win.
I get it because both of them are tied.
How about this? Death Valley Tigers win. It is a bit odd that they're both the Tigers and they both claim Death Valley.
Do they?
Yeah.
Now, if I were to say, okay, so I didn't, I've never thought about that.
Death Valley to me is LSU, but Clemson claims Death Valley and Clemson has been better lately.
If you were to say to me, which one is Death Valley, I would have said LSU.
Yeah, but Clemson also claims it.
Well, they have more titles.
Yeah, they do. Well, they've got two of them here in the last, 3 years? Because this will be 3 and 4 if they get it.
Yeah, 3 and 4.
LSU.
Well, listen.
LSU's has been a while.
We've got a lot to do today because of the time constraints.
Yes.
So we're going to play the LSU-Clemson game live as it occurs right here on The Fan, which is exciting. It's two teams that are 14-0. And, I mean, yeah, it's been kind of dull because of the layoff, but man, that'll change in about 1 hour and 55 minutes because on paper this is as good as it gets.
Yeah.
So that's coming up, and then we'll talk about some NFL games. You see those NFL games?
I did see those.
Did you catch those? There were 4 of them.
Yeah. A couple of them kind of blew me away. I did not see coming.
Isn't the NFL like? Well, it's not just NFL, but just being a sports fan, it's a time commitment, you know?
Sure.
I mean, that's a lot of TV viewing.
It is a lot of TV viewing. Now, I will say that Minnesota, I didn't watch all of. That was a bit of a snooze fest, although that one surprised me. I thought Minnesota was going to give them a game, and they just didn't. I mean, I didn't think San Francisco's offense played that well, and it didn't matter because their defense was just suffocating. And then...
But it's 8 hours. Look, man, that's eight. If you have a family and a life,
yeah,
that's tough. It's like it's 2 games... 2 days, so it's 8 hours each day, basically.
Pretty much.
That's hard to do.
Yeah, but, I mean, how many people sit down and really watch every second of it?
I did wildcard weekend.
Yeah.
I was able to.
Yeah.
Luckily, it's just one of those. You know, sometimes you get those weekends that are magical where it's like, oh, my God, there's nothing going on,
you're
okay with that.
Yeah, you just plan it.
I try to schedule
my weekends around this time of year to just be empty so that I can watch the games.
That's smart, but when you have kids, you can't do that. I mean, a lot of our guys have kids.
Although my kids are old enough now, I can tell them to go pound sand.
There's a lot of sports and games and things. Although this time of year, maybe not as much.
Well, I'm...
In terms of team sports and, like, things you got to do.
I don't know. None of my kids have played sports in so long. And I'll tell you what, every time I run into a parent who is, like, super sports parent, it just makes me feel so much better about my decision to not have my kids play sports. It's wonderful.
Or like not have kids.
Yeah, that too.
Because that is horrible.
That's a little late because I've got three of them, but none of them have any sort of real organized activity.
For those that don't have any, it's the same feeling. Like they see this guy like in these people spread thin running their kids to all these stupid, you know, like this volleyball practice and then that.
Yeah, I gotta
baseball
be. I gotta be down to the coast, or they're bitching because they gotta be in like Albany at 5 a.m. on a Saturday.
And that's a great feeling. Those people that don't have kids are looking at that, going, "Oh my god!
Oh yeah!
What a pain in the ass! That would suck."
I remember.
Good thing I don't have to do that.
Yeah, years and years ago, my son was playing soccer, and he was a good soccer player. And they asked him to go on one of them travel teams, right? And we went and we did like an indoor thing. And it was like hey, do it for like a month or two and you'll see if you like it. And at the end of that, I asked my son, I said, do you really want to do this? And I laid out the time commitment and the cost. And I'm like, just so you know, like that's over like Christmas, they play tournaments, or we can go to Hawaii. Now that might've been unfair to drop on like a 9 or 10 year old, but my son wisely said Hawaii and we haven't looked back and it's been wonderful. Because think about it, every season you play one of those stupid travel things, that's a trip that you could be going on. Unless you're just like have unlimited funds and vacation, then by all means do whatever. But for those of us that are on a budget and only have so many vacation days, Hawaii, or you can go to Spokane and play like a 10-year-old soccer tournament. I don't know about you. I'm taking Hawaii.
My son is an idiot.
Not in that case. My son was a gall darn genius.
Now, do you dads take devices to your games, or do you just record and then watch later when they go to bed or something?
I think there's a lot of drinking involved in tailgating. And I've heard that now people have to tailgate these things in order to tolerate them. But I would assume that there's devices out. With today's day and age, you can watch whatever.
Yeah. So it's easier now.
Sure.
But I told you about my Saturday where I had to wait for delivery of appliances.
Yeah.
Well, I did that, and they were done, stored, and locked away before Vikings Niners even started, because the window was 12:30 to 4:30.
Even better.
Everything was done. I was back home by 1:30.
That's
perfect.
That's juicy.
So I watched that game, and of course, that was the crappiest game of all of them.
I know.
And then I missed Titans Ravens because I got to thank the old timers.
Oh, yeah,
we had the big banquet.
Yeah, I was getting reports.
Kevin was there.
Yeah, people were taking snapshots.
Yet another bald guy who has... You bald guys are something else. Like, anybody who has a problem with my hair is bald.
Yeah.
And now, so that, you automatically lose credibility because, well, first of all, I don't care what anyone has to say about my hair, but it's fun how many people have different opinions.
Sure.
But, like, if Brad Pitt or somebody with great hair came up to me and was like, look, man, here's what you need to do, I'd be like, oh,
yeah,
okay. But you bald guys who look like penises, look, I don't care what you guys have to say, and it's merely jealousy, and it's really sad on your part.
Well, this is...
And Kevin is another one. Kevin from Collection Connection was there, and he did this great collage in this. He did a whole thing.
Oh, he does amazing
He's
stuff.
Awesome, yeah. But he came up to me, he's like, man, I just text Suka, and I said... he needs to have a hair intervention with you. I said, yet another bald guy, two bald guys. Why don't you get over? Why don't you go have coffee and talk about it?
So here's, first off, we don't have coffee. We have beers. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Let's go down to the Flyboys out there. It's a nice little tavern. That's me and Kevin's spot. Now I will tell you that my response to him saying that you need to have a hair intervention was, who am I to talk? I'm bald.
And that's the appropriate response.
There will be no, and I want it on the record that I have not
made
a negative comment in any shape or form about your hair, because I have no place to speak.
You have insinuated negativity.
Yeah,
you haven't made a negative comment.
You dance around it, but I see you're trying very hard, which I appreciate.
Yes,
because you're bald.
Exactly. I would kill to have your hair.
There you go.
I would gladly, now I am not a fan of the man bun, but I would, if you told me that I had to, if I could have your hair, but I had to man bun it, I would do that tomorrow.
Well, I'm not a fan of the man bun either. It's just convenient.
Yeah,
but
it's
anyway,
convenient. Yeah,
I had my,
you will get no shade coming from me.
And good, because you're bald.
Exactly.
You have no credibility on this subject.
No.
You just sound jealous.
It's
pathetic.
Like, if I'm driving around, like, I don't even have a Pinto, right? Like, I'm riding my bicycle, and you come whipping by, like, in a Corvette or something, and I'm like, psh, Corvettes are stupid. Like, I have no, there's no room to talk. There's no ledge to stand on. Same sort of thing.
Well, my flow was on display.
Yeah, I saw the Saturday. People were taking photos. It was a Barry Melrose-esque slicked back sort of thing.
Yeah, I got my hair out. Yeah. And I want to thank the Old Timers Baseball Association of Portland for having me out again at AMC, their banquet every year. About 450 people at Matt Club. Great baseball names. This thing goes back to, this thing started in 1933. Can you believe that? The 86th annual.
That's a ways back.
And some greats have spoken, like Buck O'Neill was there, Johnny Pesky, Brooks Robinson, Tommy Lasorda. I mean, they've had some great baseball.
Was any of the Astros there?
not this year. Well, actually, there was an ex-Astro there.
Oh, really?
Dave Veers was there. You remember him in the closer?
I do remember Dave Veers.
He spoke, and Rick Sweet spoke, and Mike Barrett spoke for a little bit, and the new coach at Oregon, the new baseball coach down there spoke. It was a great night, and they raise money, and what they do is they give scholarships to local baseball players who aren't going to the big time schools. And they do a lot in the community, and it's great to be a part of every year. And we had it on Saturday night. And as you questioned on Friday, and rightly so, you questioned if Mike Barrett was going to be wearing his Portland Diamond Project Letterman's jacket.
Yeah, if he was going to be like the Sharks and Jets out there.
He was.
He was.
And you know how much that thing costs? He told me how much that thing costs.
Well, it's custom. It's custom. And by the way, it's a pretty penny.
I don't know who the company was that did that thing. No. There's a photo on their Twitter page of me and Barrett, and you can see the jacket, and more importantly, you can see me. But
and your salmon pants.
Yeah, I brought out the salmons.
Really?
Yeah.
You went Wooderson.
And Mike Barrett quote tweeted it with his own comment about you wearing salmon
pants.
Yeah,
dude, the salmons don't come out very often. When they do.
I can only hope you dropped an all right, all right, all right.
So Barrett, inside the chest pocket is his name. And they spelled it B-A-R-R-E-T.
Okay, so I'm assuming that that's not how you spell Mike Barrett's name.
No.
Okay.
I've never seen Barrett spelled that way. It's B-A-R-R-E-T-T. So they is that not obvious to anyone else? Or?
I mean, it's obvious, but I understand why Suk, who has trouble with some spellings, would be a little confused.
I think Mike just said, no, that's obvious, but Suk's an idiot, so I believe that's what he just told.
Well, he spelled your name wrong in that. In that one clip that we have.
Well, again, so after 14 years. I just was saying, I assume that that's a misspell. Otherwise, you wouldn't be talking about
it. They made two of them. Uh-oh. They made two of those. One for Craig Cheek, one for Mike Barrett.
Okay.
Of Portland Diamond Project.
Five bills?
$700 each.
Yikes.
Whoa.
Those things are 700 bills.
Not 700 bills. Seven bills.
Oh, what's a bill?
Bill's 100.
Oh, yeah. No one's bills.
No one's buying a jacket with ones.
Right.
Like, what sort of strip club outage are you on when you're like, give me 700 singles? Yeah, like the cash gun? No, seven bills.
What do they call a dime in gambling? Isn't that $1,000? A dime?
Well, or
just short of a dime.
Or you go small. Like, so seven large would be 7,000. Seven small or seven large, short would be 700.
Seven short. Hmm. Kind of like chicken. We're going to learn about chicken today.
It's all about chicken.
Well, you know what I'm talking about?
Chicken.
It's chicken.
Marshawn Lynch.
Oh, okay.
Take care of your mentals, your bodies, and your chicken.
And your chicken.
You know what chicken is? It's money.
Yeah, your money.
Yeah, your scratch.
Took me a second. I was like, what? Chicken? Oh, yeah, Marshawn.
So anyway, Barrett was there, and he dropped all sorts of new information about Major League Baseball to Portland and when it's coming.
Okay. Should we share?
I'm being facetious. He didn't.
Oh, damn it.
But... because he's the king of, you know him.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he can talk and not say anything.
They push it down the road.
It's chicken.
When you've done as many Blazer games as he has in the midst of blowouts, you're good at that. He should be a politician.
And he even admitted it. But he said, here's what he said about MLB to Portland. He said, this is the year of clarity. 2020 is the year of clarity.
Okay.
We're going to get some clarity. Right. One way or the other. Maybe good, maybe bad. I don't know.
Well, that would be, clarity doesn't necessarily mean positive.
But it was a great night. It was a great night, but it also meant that I missed Ravens Titans and I forgot to record it.
Oh, well.
So I had to call Potter after he's a big Titans fan.
Sure.
So I called him. I said, what the hell happened? And he gave me the synopsis, which may be the way I start to do my sports now. It's just easier.
Just go with Potter.
Yeah. Well, I'll just call somebody who watched it and that I trust.
That's the one, honestly, that I was most just. Head sewn to the carpet surprised. Not that Baltimore lost, Tennessee they whooped their ass. I just did not see that one coming at all.
And all those people that did are laughing at, who saw that coming?
Not me.
A lot of people like Tennessee, they were getting too many points.
Sure.
But, I mean, geez.
Well, I wasn't going to touch either one of those games on the spread when you're talking about a 9-10 point spread, but if I had to have bet it, I would have bet the favorite. And, you know,
that's what you did on Thursday. You were like, I'm going to bet the Ravens.
Yeah, bet the Ravens.
If I have to.
Didn't like either one, but because that's a lot of points. But, man,
You know, these things, man, they are so unpredictable.
Yeah.
Which is what's amazing about it is like you look at the Texans and they're up 24-0. And then you're like, oh,
you're up by 20 and you
this game's over
and you lose by 20.
You lose the lead in one quarter.
Yeah, what the hell?
Dude, incredible.
Yeah.
So what do you say we talk about it, huh?
Let's.
Ready? Break.
Ready.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, today's poll question at 1080thefan.com brought to you by AAA Heating and Cooling, family business helping families for over 50 years. AAAIAQ.com. Best win. Chiefs drop 51, rallying from 24 down. Niners bludgeon the Vikings or the Titans, or as it says here, the Titas.
Typos.
Stymie Lamar Jackson.
The Tennessee typos. It's got to be Tennessee.
Or is it Titas?
I mean, Baltimore wasn't just beating people. Baltimore was crushing people. I mean, they were cruising 14-2. Lamar Jackson's your MVP. And also, I mean, the 49ers game was very impressive because I think Minnesota's a good team and they could do nothing against the Niners. And obviously what Kansas City did once they got rolling, but I don't think Houston's very good. Am I the only one that at 24-0 didn't think that was over? Like, I mean, I was like, holy crap, well, I didn't see that coming, but I sat there to myself and was like, this is far from over.
It was awful early.
Yes.
And so there was that. It's like, you know, you look at the clock and you're like, man, it's not even second quarter. Nope. Or it's like,
Just the start
of the second quarter. You're like, yeah, Chiefs got a lot of time here.
But also the Chiefs shot themselves in the foot over and over and over again. And I was like, oh my God, they don't want to win.
That game was prototypical Andy Reid.
Yeah.
And then Bill O'Brien was like, oh, no.
What?
This is my prototypical game. And then it became prototypical vintage Bill O'Brien.
When they got the fake punt, which, by the way, I know everyone's killing him for it. How that guy couldn't make one move. Like when they ran that, I was like, dude, that's a first down. That is a great open field tackle and a really poor open field move. I don't remember who the up back was that had it out there, but that should have been a first down. But when they didn't get that, I was like, yeah, this is the momentum turner. And plus,
that was a dumb call.
It was.
Bill O'Brien's an idiot.
But I think honestly, and this goes back to even the field goal, I think Bill O'Brien was terrified. When he said at the end of the game that we have to get to 50, I don't think that's coach speak. I think he really believed that they had to get to 50.
Well, and 50 wouldn't have been enough.
It wouldn't. He needed to get to 52. But I do. I think that there was some panic on his face, even up, 21, and then they kicked the field goal to make it 24 instead of going for it.
I think you saw in that moment when they cut to the sideline and he just like scream yelled the F word when he changed his mind. It was almost as if conservative Bill O'Brien, who he always is, was fighting against the guy who was trying to win a playoff game, and he let conservative Bill O'Brien win, and he was pissed about it.
Well, on a couple of those, too. I mean, they had Kansas City in third down a couple times inside the red zone. They couldn't get off the field. I think Kansas City went 9-14 on third down. I mean, it's like...
That's what the Packers did.
Yeah, they just were killing them on third down. You had opportunities to get off the field, and you didn't do it. But
Texans' defense is terrible.
It's awful. Back to my original point, though. To me, by far the most impressive one was Tennessee because Baltimore was rolling. That was a juggernaut, and Tennessee kicked their ass on both sides of the ball. They completely took Baltimore, and I get Mark Ingram being beat up certainly had an effect on that, but they beat them to the punch on both sides of the ball.
So what did they do?
And I didn't think that someone was going to come in and do that to the Ravens, and I certainly didn't think it was going to be Tennessee. And I don't know about anyone else, but Tennessee has a real creepy New York Giants sort of vibe right now about them. 9-7, wild card, no one given much chance, quarterback's decent, no one on the outside that really scares you, but physical up front, and they're running the ball real well. This has a Giants-Patriots sort of feel about it.
Derrick Henry has over 180 yards in three straight games.
Yep.
That has never happened.
No.
Ever.
And he's jump passing people Ever. Right now.
I mean, that's unbelievable. So you've got that, but you're right. They just have that look. Now, so I missed the game, so I have to tread lightly. I didn't get to see it. I've only gotten, I've read about it. But what did the Titans do? How did they do this?
I
was going to say, I heard something on the broadcast that I thought was a really good explanation of it. was he basically, I forget what who was doing that game, whoever was with, I think it was Ian Eagle and whoever, basically said that Tennessee played a soft zone because they wanted the Ravens to throw the ball a lot and complete the pass a lot, but to keep the clock running. So that's why Lamar Jackson had almost 60 pass attempts, because it was wide open in the middle of the field, but they gave him 7-8 yards every time and then stopped him in the red zone, or forced turnovers too. They forced, what, 4 turnovers in the game.
Yep.
So basically it was just, hey, we'll let you pass the ball all you want, but we're not going to let you go that far, and we're not going to let you get out of bounds. And they just ran the clock out.
We're going to limit the explosive plays. We're going to limit the number of times you have the ball. And I really thought that Jarrell Casey and company did a great job of just mucking that up in the middle. And you saw Lamar, you know, he broke.
Did they spying?
They broke. They were
not really.
No, not. It didn't feel like that. But when they were playing soft zone, what that did is it kept everything in front. And Lamar had some moments where he was running the ball, but it never felt like he was really breaking a big one, because when you play that soft zone, everything's in front of you. Even when they did run, there wasn't real explosive plays.
There was a bunch of guys who could come in and tackle Jackson. Yeah. So
well, their linebackers were freed up. That's the one thing I read. Well, I forget who wrote it. I think it was Warren Sharp, was saying that there, Baltimore had two grave weaknesses on the offensive line that Tennessee's defensive front was able to exploit, that freed up the linebackers to be able to just...
Yeah, the big bodies...
Come downhill on Lamar.
The big bodies in the middle really did a phenomenal job of not getting pushed back, and they just, I always say they muck everything up. They just created a big wash pile there in the middle. And then the Tennessee backers and secondary, they did a great job of tackling in space.
Well, times did Jackson, we've seen it all year, he goes to the outside and he gains like 15, 20 yards.
Yep.
He would gain 3 or 4 yards almost every time he would run to the outside, because they had all those guys in the zone. So they were like, oh, he's running, let's just run forward to him.
Well, it's so funny that it's like, when this happens, we now look and say, oh, well, this is what Tennessee did. Well, every team
tries the same thing.
Yeah. It's like they just out executed them, you know, like they just have the studs to be able to do it. Right.
Yep.
Like, I mean, it's not like all the other defensive coordinators that tried to slow Baltimore for the last 12 weeks are dumb. They just,
and I think they
So in other words, it's not like this magic potion.
No.
It's nothing. They didn't do anything like San Diego last year got a lot of credit because they played all those DBs because they had all those injuries, and that seemed to slow down Lamar Jackson. But it seems to me that this year it was just Tennessee just has a damn good defense on all three levels, and it just played well. It out-executed
it
Baltimore.
And they got Baltimore behind. And I think when they got Baltimore behind, that again led to no one – Baltimore or anyone else, like, you don't want your quarterback throwing the ball 59 times. And I think when the run game – and I do think Mark Ingram being banged up really did have an effect, because he – no one besides Lamar Jackson was really effective running the ball. And I do think that when they got behind, I think Baltimore, because they knew Derrick Henry was running the ball so well and that clock was moving, I think Baltimore did kind of hit the panic button a little bit and went to just throwing the ball. And that goes back to the point that Mike was making, whoever wrote that article, is Tennessee was happy to just
that's what you want, right?
Yeah, just let you want it. We've got a double-digit lead. You want to march down the field on us 5-6 yards at a time? Be my guest.
That's why the box score is confusing, because Lamar Jackson has like 500 total yards of offense by himself.
Yep.
And they still only scored, what was it, 12 points?
But he turned it over.
Turned it over
two
twice.
Two picks and the fumble as well.
Fumble, yeah.
But I mean,
you want him throwing.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you know.
You want him throwing, but also I don't think this strategy works unless you have a great running back.
Yeah.
So even if the Titans didn't get an early lead, you know they're running the ball 40 times with Derrick Henry. So they want just to keep running the clock out. And you know that when they're on offense, they're going to burn the clock as much as they can. And because nobody can tackle Derrick Henry, all of a sudden he's going to get almost 200 yards rushing.
It is the damnedest thing, because he runs so upright. I haven't seen anyone run like him since Eric Dickerson. He just appears to give you his chest every time. It's just... his chest is a foot higher than anyone else's, and then when you're trying to tack him around the hips, good luck, because he's got pistons. It's the damnedest thing watching that dude run right now. He's on a burner. And there is no answer for him right now. No one has it. New England didn't. Baltimore. And by the way, those are two really good run defenses, and they had no answer. And then give Tannehill credit. Yeah, he only threw the ball, 13, 14 times, but –
only 88 yards.
Only
again.
88 yards, but that big play over the top after the turnover on downs when they went for it, and they went, and I forget who it was, they threw over the top to the guy and they had the touchdown. You know, that I think that put Baltimore in a hole of which they never recovered. Baltimore hadn't trailed. I think that was a real kind of just panic. I mean, their own player, I forget who it was, one of their DBs said it afterwards. He goes, look, you can call it what it is, a choke. I think Baltimore fell behind, and I think that they panicked because they weren't used to it.
They hadn't been in deep water, yeah.
No.
And Tennessee had just been – that's – yeah. Well, three of the four by team –
Marlon Humphrey, the Alabama guy that said that. He said his team choked.
Three of the four by teams that had that were at home won and covered. But to your point about the hot team versus the team that's rested that really hasn't been dragged into deep water, at least that – I mean, that's kind of what happened here, but – to say that you would rather be on the Tennessee side, it didn't really play out all weekend.
Yeah.
Because the other three favorites all won and covered. It's just that in this instance, yeah, I mean, I don't know. But you just got to give credit to Tennessee. Yeah. I'm looking at the box score here because I was looking at time of possession. And Baltimore had better time of possession. Baltimore won that 32-28.
And they slaughtered them in total yards by like 300.
Well, they got into
Ran 92 plays in that game.
They got into the red zone 7 or 8 times and came away with 12 points. And if
didn't they have 4 or 5 turnovers on downs on fourth and like twos?
They had a couple of them. And they were
just two.
They were converting at a 70% clip. They were the number one third down team.
Sorry, 0-4 on fourth down. 0-4.
So that was the number one third down team. I think they were at like 50, I don't know, it was like 58%. And on fourth down, they were converting at a 70%+ clip. And Tennessee absolutely shut them down. And then I think when they got into the red zone, and if you want to try to pick apart Lamar, and I think it's ridiculous now that, you know, there's this, well, he's choked 2 years in the playoffs. You stop. Dude, the guy has a very, very bright future. But there are... I don't think it's picking apart, but if you want some criticism, he doesn't always throw the best ball in tight windows. It's kind of an ugly, it comes out of his hand a little funky at sometimes.
The second pick that Vaccaro had was a terrible pass.
It was a terrible pass. And when they get down into a red zone and they were not able to effectively run the ball and the windows got smaller, he was not very good at throwing into tight windows. Versus let's take a Pat Mahomes. And a couple of times when they did get in third down, you know, when the Kansas City, when that game, they were trying to make the comeback, those first couple touchdowns they had, it was 3rd and 4, 3rd and 5 from the, you know, going in, and he put it in the absolute perfect spot. And Lamar Jackson didn't do that. So if you want one evolution is that when you get down into those tight spots, the run game wasn't working and he was not particularly good with the football.
All right, let's get to the Seahawks and advice by Marshawn Lynch next. Here's Mike.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we're recapping NFL divisional round. We've got Clemson LSU coming up at 5 here on The Fan. We'll do a little preview right before that as well. Because, tonight's the college football playoff championship game.
It's going down.
Yeah, so I heard that the Ravens are going to move Lamar Jackson to tight end now. They're just or wide receiver. They're just done with them.
It is hilarious. Some of the
get him out of there.
The hot takes that are coming in. I mean, I get some of the skepticism going into his career. I had it, and I didn't know if it was sustainable long term. And by the way, I still think those are fair things. As often as he gets hit, I still wonder, can you do that for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years? Which is why I think I would take a Pat Mahomes or a Russell Wilson over Lamar Jackson, but. No one can doubt the fact that this year he was amazing. He was an absolute wrecking ball. But, you know, 2 years now in a row in the playoffs, they have not shown up. And so that's a fair criticism. But this idea that somehow this is an indictment on his game and that you can't win in the postseason like this and that Lamar Jackson is now somehow lesser. Some of that stuff is ridiculous. It's like people just waiting in the bushes. You talk about this all the time, the cherry pickers, right? They don't say crap when you're rolling to 14-2, and then the moment you lose, it's like we come out of the woodwork and are like, aha, I told you.
Yeah, they're just losers. They wait for you to fail, and then you could succeed 100 times, fail once, and they're all over you. But that, you know, he is awesome, but there is growth that needs to happen there.
Yeah, and they need to catch the ball too. They weren't.
Oh, for sure.
They dropped everything. There were plenty of times, and some of that I do think he needs to throw a better ball. I mean, it comes out of there sometimes like a shot put, and it's not exactly on target. But
dude,
you get your hands on those balls.
I'm amazed. You've
got to be able to grab it. And then yes, I know that.
Go ahead and clip that. I'm amazed at how many huge drop balls there are.
Yeah.
Turner yesterday for the Seahawks.
Yep.
Oh my God, dude!
Hollister had
the ball.
There were plenty.
It happens all over the place, but it happened. It seemed like a lot. At least so I read with the Ravens. But I just think the one thing that's concerning about them is those two losses in the playoffs, the Chargers and the Titans, yep. they're to far lesser teams.
Yeah.
You know, that's, they're awesome, but it sounds like it's like they got a great fastball, but when somebody gets after their fastball, they got nothing else to go to. It's kind of what it feels like
it
with them.
It has been 2 years in a row where this great offense has really kind of ground to a halt. But this one, I mean, you weren't good in the red zone. You were terrible on fourth down. But you put up a lot of yards. The numbers itself actually look pretty good. So maybe, just maybe, this was one of those, give credit to Tennessee, who again is on a heater. And it was just one of those nights where a little bit was off. And if just a couple different breaks go your way, maybe that's a different ball game. I certainly don't think that you throw out. I've heard other people being like, well, Baltimore needs to go back to the drawing board. No, you don't. This is like in like when you watch a movie like James Bond or like a G.I. Joe cartoon, right? Where someone comes this close to taking over the world, right? Like your plan worked perfectly, but Bond or Joe or whoever came up with like a last minute thing and somehow foiled your plan. And then they never go back to that. No, just do the same plan. And that this time clean it up a little bit. Baltimore doesn't need to change anything. They just need to clean it up a little bit, evolve a little bit more. And you'll be fine. Or just, you know, get Mark Ingram healthy.
Well, the Titans have now beat the top-ranked scoring defense and the top-ranked scoring offense in back-to-back playoff weeks.
I know.
And that's only happened two other times. The two teams that did it were the 1988 Niners and the 2004 Patriots. And both of those teams
Super Bowl.
Not only went to the Super Bowl, they won the Super Bowl.
Look, I wouldn't, if you told me at the start of the playoffs, I would have laughed in your face. But Tennessee has...
I don't know why you would have laughed. I mean, they're the number one offense in the league after benching Mariota.
Tennessee has a look about them right now.
They had it all, man.
And it's pretty impressive to watch.
I mean, if you think about it, like the Titans just is two totally different teams, the one with Mariota and the one with Tannehill.
Yeah.
And the one with Tannehill, they only lost one game.
Yeah.
So it's not that crazy. What's crazy about it is Tannehill's, I mean, he threw, lighting it up in the regular season. He's averaging 80 yards passing in these two wins.
88 yards.
But when you got Derrick Henry and you got the defense playing like that, I mean, it's just awesome to watch them. And this is a great matchup, which we'll have time to talk about this week, but Tennessee, Kansas City, you know, the Chiefs lost to the Titans already once, right?
Yeah. But I think that was without Pat Mahomes, though.
No, he was back.
He was back for that?
That was his first game back.
Okay.
I like how every time we say the Chiefs lost, we're like, but Pat Mahomes was out. No, he played.
And they were winning by 9 in the fourth quarter of that game, and Tennessee came back. But that did three things. I saw
look at that. Mahomes had a pretty good day.
Oh, he threw all over him.
Yeah, 446, 3 touchdowns.
One of the KC guys I follow on Twitter, Rainey, is a good follow. He was talking about this. He said, the Chiefs losing to the Titans, and it was kind of a fluky loss. I mean, the Titans won it at the very end, and the Chiefs really had that game, but they lost. It did three things. One, the Chiefs still got a bye in two home playoff games anyway. Two, it allowed them to drop in the waiver rankings, so they got Terrell Suggs. Oh. And three, it allowed Tennessee into the playoffs, who knocked off the Patriots and the Ravens. And now they get them again.
Clearing the deck for them.
Which is crazy. Anyway, let's get to the Seahawks. Did you see that they played?
I did see
they had a playoff game too.
Yes.
And they lost.
Tale of two halves there.
We'll talk about it next on The Fan.
Bro, brother. Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Well, the Seahawks almost did it. They almost came back. I think we were all hoping that just for entertainment's sake, even if you're not a Seahawks fan, you were hoping that
Russ would get one more crack at it.
Dangerous would get the ball with 2 minutes left.
I thought for a minute that fourth and 11 that they would go for it, but
did you think they should have?
No, I don't.
I don't either.
Because they had the 2 minute warning. I think they still had two timeouts.
No, they had all three.
Did they have all three?
They had all three timeouts and the 2 minute warning. It was 2 minutes and 41 seconds left, fourth and 11.
You punt that.
And when he punted, I thought it was a good call. I'm like, you got all three. But the problem there is
you couldn't stop him.
We sit here and we go, oh my God, like Green Bay did not want to give that ball back to Russell Wilson, right?
Nope.
Seattle should have, and it was 4th and 11, so you probably punt no matter what. Pete Carroll said
if it was
4th and 3, 4, or 5, they might have gone for it. But I think you got to have a little more respect for Aaron Rodgers. I think what that showed was Aaron Rodgers is just as good as Russ Wilson in terms of maybe it would have been worth it going. It's hindsight, but maybe it would have been worth it going for it there.
Although
because third down, Rodgers, dude, he is. He is just as dangerous as Wilson. Like, who's better on third and long? Wilson or Rodgers?
Take your pick, man. Take your poison.
And you knew, too, that Rodgers, they weren't just going to run it and be conservative. They went for both third downs by throwing the ball. They didn't care if the clock stopped. And they got them both.
Well,
and
he is just deadly. They threw on second down,
too. Yeah, they did.
They give Green Bay credit. And Matt LaFleur, they did not yellow weasel that thing and just be like, all right, well, we're going to make them burn their timeouts. Because that's... There is a lot of that in the NFL where there's this idea of whatever, burn their timeouts.
We'll pin them back.
We'll pin them back. And
they
were
scared of Russ.
Yeah, and they were like, no, that's a lot of balls to go like, we're going to throw this thing on second down and we're going to keep slinging it because we're not giving it back to Russell Wilson.
But it makes sense because when you got Rodgers, he's so good, dude. That ball he dropped, I don't remember who it was on the first third down conversion on that last drive. Mm-hmm. Whoever he dropped that right in the breadbasket. He's so... You know, again, it's hindsight, but you could say, well, you knew he was going to be able to pull something like that out, and all they needed was, what, two first downs?
Yeah, and I think
even with your timeout. So
I think
they
both went to Adams, who
was it Adams?
Who no one could cover.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Yeah, he was ridiculous.
So in hindsight, maybe you do punt that, but, you know, what are you going to do?
I don't know what the odds are on 4th and 11, but
neither.
They're not good.
But the thing about that I thought was, if you do go for it and don't get it,
yeah.
What likely is going to happen is Green Bay may kick a field goal because if they get one first down, you still have your timeouts and the 2-minute warning to hold them.
Yeah.
You hold them to 3, you still have a shot because you're only down 8.
Yeah.
So that was one thought I had. I was like, well, maybe they do go for this, but I think it was the right move to punt it. You got to get a stop there, but Rodgers too good. You got to give him credit. They just fell too far behind. My big problem with the Seahawks is this. And they had such a good year, and Pete Carroll's amazing, and Russ Wilson's amazing, and you got to admit too, how many running backs did they lose?
Yeah,
four.
They were down. Well, they lost their first three, and so they were down to what is it, Homer and then,
I mean Lynch and Homer don't have much, no. And so it's just like it's so tough. But Brian Schottenheimer, I've never liked Brian Schottenheimer, and I think that the Seahawks generally show a tendency to be too conservative early in games. Where he kept running Marshawn Lynch, that dude was going to get nothing, right? And he kept trying that
12
crap.
12 carries, 26 yards.
And then all of a sudden in the second half, he's like, screw it.
Yeah,
we'll let Russell Wilson run around and do his thing. We'll do that earlier.
Wouldn't it be? Exactly, because look, let's be honest about Seattle. Seattle is a one-man wrecking crew, right? It's a decent team that has arguably the best quarterback and the best player in the game in Russell Wilson. So... I'm with you. Just let him go.
Really unstoppable.
In the second half, you can almost like see them just be like, look, Russ, no one else is doing a GD thing. Just go do it. Do it from the very get-go.
Well, Schottenheimer said, I saw an interview with him where he said, we like to let Russ open it up and we like to let Russ go in the second half. I don't understand, especially with your running back situation, I don't understand why you don't do that the whole game.
I don't know. Maybe they just feel maybe wearing down or
well, it cost them. They were down, 21-3 at half?
Yeah.
That's the difference in the game.
Well, and it was so close because Adams was the first the first one, and then the second one was the Jimmy Graham, you know, is it or isn't a first down? And I get that there's controversy there because the yellow line, it clearly he didn't get to it, but then when you watch it, it doesn't look like the yellow line was correct. So
can I ask a question about that?
Yeah.
I felt like it was a first down and I had money on Seattle. I mean, I didn't want it to be a first down, but it looked to me, if I'm being impartial, I looked at it. I was like, I think he got it.
Yeah.
But my question is when they review that, because it's within 2 minutes, Pete Carroll doesn't even have to throw the flag, right?
Sure.
They're just reviewing it upstairs.
Yeah.
Why don't they do like when it's reviewed by the coach and move it and then measure it? Well, in other words, it wasn't a yes or no. Is the ball spotted correctly? I guess maybe they just said the ball was spotted correctly. It didn't seem like it was.
Because you can move it and then measure.
That's what I didn't understand why they didn't do that.
I think what happened was, and I haven't seen an NFL explanation for it, the yellow line was incorrect.
It was a half yard ahead of where the actual marker was.
If you look at the marker, and I'm not even talking about just they put down the little red flap, but if you actually look where the chain is, It looks like he got the first down. When I first saw it, I was like, dude, that's not a first down. It's a terrible.
Yeah.
And then when you actually look at it, you're like, oh, the yellow line is incorrect.
So
and
they don't
like
use the yellow line then?
No,
up there?
The yellow line is not official. The yellow line is just something for TV.
And what was additional information? Did you see that?
Yeah, they did the second review.
Yeah.
They had another camera angle. So they looked at another camera angle they didn't have originally.
Well, that makes me feel a little bit better about it because I do feel like he did get it.
And it was one of those fleek.
I'm almost certain he got it. And the camera angle to me that told me was the one on the sideline. It was looking right down the first down line, with the real one, not the yellow line.
With the little orange.
Yeah. With the second that the ball hits the ground, it's at that line. It's like you can't overturn
it's like
that.
Forum comes down, and it was kind of rotten luck, too.
But why can't they? They must have said the spot was right.
It was accurate.
The spot was
because
bad.
It looked to me like the spot was the worst part of the call. Yeah. They spotted that way before I feel like he was down a half yard back where they spotted it. Yeah. But even if they moved it back to where he was down, it was still a first down. But I don't know why they can't move this where they spotted it.
Well, and it was a rotten luck play for Seattle because Graham, you know, when the tackle was made, he fell on top of the defender.
Yeah, but his elbow was down. There's a clear shot
the
of his elbow.
Was down, but still, like his body, he would have been short had the Seattle defender not been underneath him. He would have gone down, and it just so happened that he was able to kind of land on top of him, and then that forearm with the ball was able to go forward.
That also doesn't mean that the Packers wouldn't have gotten the first down. Exactly. They would have gone for it on fourth.
They would have gotten it.
It was so close, and I get that Seattle fan is all pissy and moany about it, but again, that did not decide the game. It's par for the course that we have to have one controversial, play in all this, but the bottom line is
it still might have been a bad call.
Green Bay won that game because they had the balls on to not sit there and try to bleed clock, and they threw the ball, and Aaron Rodgers was great. And much like I said about Tennessee being great on third down, so was Green Bay. Green Bay was 9 of 14. I think Seattle was 3 of 9. Third downs win you games, and that won Green Bay the game.
The other thing too is a third down sack of Russell Wilson on their last possession.
Well, and then again, some of this, I don't know exactly what the protection call was, but to have one of the Smiths, whether it's Zadarius or Preston, one-on-one with Hollister, that's inexcusable. It really is, and I know if Fetty tried to come out and bail, which is why it's tough for me to say, I don't know what the protection, maybe they slid or if Fetty was late, but you can't have in that situation an elite pass rusher on an undersized tight end. You can't. That is, if that's the way that play was designed, then that's on Seattle and they deserve to give up that sack.
Tell you what though, Turner catches that ball to first down. They get a fresh set of downs and who knows what ends up happening. You know, maybe it's 31. What was it? 28-23. So they probably would have gone for two had they scored. So that's 28. So maybe Green Bay is kicking a field goal to try to tie the game and send it to overtime. If they score on that drive.
Yeah. And if you're Seattle,
catch the damn ball.
If you're Seattle, you've got to find a way to get Russell Wilson help. It's just not good enough.
Well, was it entirely their fault? They had a lot of injuries, man. Like they were Carson. Like they could run the ball.
Yeah,
technically, Metcalf.
And Metcalf's been awesome. I felt like they should have gone downfield to Metcalf more. I mean, I'm sure that Green Bay DBs did a good job on him, but at the same time, desperate times call for desperate measures. Green Bay gave up more long plays over the top than anybody in the league. And DK Metcalf's a size advantage. Just throw one up to him once or twice, and they never did that. So I don't know, man. I mean, I think he has help. I think they just need to shore up the offensive line, and they need to stay healthy.
And some of that was injury, too. I mean, Dwayne Brown's playing, you know, how many days after he's out there after surgery. He's just out there battling.
And they were still damn good, just with Wilson.
Yep. Russell Wilson, it has been amazing. After the whole Legion of Boom went away and we all thought that Seattle was going through this huge rebuild and, you know, oh, what are they going to be? They have remained relevant every single year. And give Pete Carroll, give Schneider, and give Russell Wilson a lot of freaking credit for making what is a good team a dangerous team every year simply because of number three.
Well, there's another team that's like this. You know who it is, right?
Who are you talking
about? Which team should thank their quarterback more, Houston or Seattle?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because Houston's without Deshaun Watson.
Same sort of thing, yeah.
I just think Seattle's a better organization, but...
Agreed. Well, they have a GM and, you know, a real head coach.
Well, they're a better organization. They've put better... they just put a better product on the field, I think, overall than Houston. I mean, Houston's still good, but their defense is... I mean, Houston's defense is terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, terrible.
It was... That was as easy a comeback as you could have.
Was that eight straight touchdown?
I think it was. Yeah. I thought it was seven, and then they had to kick the field goal.
Might have been. I remember them on the broadcast saying eight, so maybe they were saying they were going for eight straight.
I love that Mahomes was begging to go for it there where they kicked the last field goal. He's like, nah, come on, keep going.
Did you also think that the fumble call was weird earlier in the Seattle game? Where it appeared on the replay that Green Bay recovered it, and they were like, "Nah,
there's no clear recovery
clear
evidence." Yeah, I thought that one was a little sketchy, but
well, Green Bay did get the ball.
Yeah, but there was,
but it was returned for a touchdown. Wasn't
wait,
it?
What? No, he was down. He was snuggling it down there, and you could tell Green Bay had it. He was the guy that handed the ball to the ref.
Yeah.
It's just that you have to be able to. I think it's kind of dumb that you have to that they have to go back and be able to confirm that on video. You have to confirm who recovered it when it was clear that Green Bay recovered it on the field.
But it's not clear.
But it's not clear on video. Film. That's kind of silly. But that was a break. That was a huge break.
Yeah.
For the Seahawks because they were already down 7-0.
Yep.
All right, more on the NFL weekend coming up next, complete with Marshawn Lynch audio, and then our Stockwatch, what we're buying and selling from the weekend in sports. It's 401 on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.